Welcome to Bite Size Human Geography, a podcast meant for students and anyone who wants a better understanding of the world. We investigate global issues using human geography concepts. It's human geography made simple. Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be discussing how a country makes its money. This is sometimes called the levels of economic activity of a country. I'm going to break this podcast into several smaller podcasts to make them even more bite-sized for you. Because what I find is whenever I'm discussing levels of economic activity, sometimes the material can run together. And what I'd really like for you to do is to digest the information so that you can really retain it. In previous episodes, I've covered primary, secondary, and tertiary levels of economic activity. And so today we're going to be discussing quaternary, or sometimes people call it quaternary, levels of economic activity. If you need a review or a refresher on the first three levels of economic activity, I highly suggest you go back to the previous episodes. So today we're going to be discussing quaternary economic activities. And these are economic activities that involve information gathering and really high levels of education. So I'm a teacher and I provide a service. So I'm on the tertiary level of economic activities. On the other hand, higher level instruction, so at a university level, or it could even be in a business setting, but people that go deep into research, that's going to be information gathering, and that will be the quaternary levels of economic activities. I'd like for you to think of this type of activity as developing the next big thing. Maybe it's some new technology, maybe it's the next new product, but there's a lot of research surrounding, a lot of information gathering and processing of research and data that goes into the creation of a new product. This next new thing that's being researched, it requires money for companies or universities to do this. And so that's why they want to make sure that their people that are involved in this research have the education levels to figure out what needs to be done. So for instance, let's think about the vaccines for COVID. Pfizer and Moderna and other large pharmaceutical companies have poured tens of millions of dollars into making these vaccines. But the return on their investment has been in the billions of dollars. So for them, it was a good return on investment. When we're looking at quaternary economic activities, remember that oftentimes these are disruptive in nature. And so you do have high level research and creation of new products. Eventually, these new products do filter down to the rest of us. So it can also be considered a form of what we call hierarchical diffusion. I like to call it sometimes the pyramid of power. So at the very top of our power structure, this is going to be our business elites, or maybe even our societal elites that end up getting the products first, and then they eventually filter down to the rest of us. Just a reminder that when you're looking at quaternary economic activities, these are going to require high levels of education. So you're going to need, on a professional level, so probably a PhD, things like chemistry and physics and data analysis and any type of medicine. But for the most part, those higher levels of education will also have higher return on investment for salary as well. From a geographic point of view, we could call people employed in the quaternary sector the laptop class. This means that they pretty much can be employed just about anywhere, although they do tend to congregate in cities and oftentimes around universities as well. But it's typically major metropolitan areas, because this is where the large corporations or universities that they would work for would also be located. But the reality is because this is not resource dependent, these jobs truly can be anywhere. And during lockdowns that some states and some countries experienced, these were jobs where people were able to work at home. Jobs like mine, I went to school every single day because I had students that I had to teach. But in other sectors of especially in the quaternary sector, these were jobs that people could easily transition to working at home. Something else to keep in mind is that this is one of the fastest growing economic sectors as people continue to get higher levels of education. I know that when I was graduating from high school, the thought was a college degree, your basic undergraduate degree was all that you needed. And now that I see in my children's generation, having something beyond just the college degree is thought to be ideal. the quaternary sector plays right into that, because these are going to be jobs where you do have to have either a master's or a PhD to be successful. Now, thinking back to our discussion on primary and secondary economic activities, remember that you're not going to see this type of economic activity in places where people are still struggling to survive, still struggling to put food on the table for their families, and just dealing with basic infrastructure issues. These are going to be, this quaternary economic activities are going to be solely the domain of highly developed countries. Now, you might see some of this in developing countries as well, but for the most part, these quaternary jobs are going to be located in developed countries. So think of a city like London. London is the financial capital of the world, and there's a tremendous amount of quaternary economic activity that is occurring there. Other countries like Japan, same thing, lots of quaternary economic activity. You do have a healthy secondary economic activity in that country as well, but especially in the large cities like Tokyo, lots and lots of quaternary economic activity. One story that I love to tell my students is back when I was in college and the internet was really just kind of in its infancy, I had a good friend, and my friend said, "Hey, I need to go to the computer lab and work on some stuff. Why don't you come hang out with me and then we'll go out afterwards?" Now, this computer lab was really different than the ones that I was used to in the library that had computers that were there for us to be able to type our papers with. This computer lab was much more high tech. And one of the things that my friend showed me was basically kind of how I think of it now as early instant messaging. She sat me down at a computer that was several terminals away from hers. And she said, "Okay, now sit here and watch this." And so she typed something on her computer. And then pretty soon it popped up on my computer, which of course back then computers were, you know, the monitors were monochromatic. They were either orange or green. So on the green screen was "Hello." And what she showed me was basically how you could send a message from one computer and it could make it all the way to the next computer. And I'm sure those of you that are listening that are younger than, say, 20 are saying, "What's the big deal?" Well, the big deal back then was it was new technology. Instant messaging is something that's ubiquitous now. Everybody can participate in this as long as you have some sort of cellular device. But back then, it was new technology. And of course, where was it? It was on a college campus. And that is a great example of quaternary economic activity. Okay, so to recap. Quaternary economic activity involves high-level research or creation or information gathering. This could be in just about any industry, from medical to business to high-tech. And this also involves higher levels of education for those that are actually doing the research, information gathering, and analysis. This also translates to a higher GDP for countries that are engaged in this, because these activities eventually create the products that we all love to buy. In countries that are still struggling on a lower end of the development scale will probably not have a large proportion of their economy based in quaternary economic activities. All right, that's it for today. I hope today's podcast helps you to gain a better understanding of quaternary economic activities. Next time will be our final podcast discussing levels of economic activity, which will be quinary economic activities. And as I've mentioned before, if you're a human geography student, having a really good grasp of the levels of economic activities is important for you in your success in this class, because all of the units are tied together and the levels of economic activity pops up in just about every single unit. You can find my email at the bottom of the show notes to connect with any show ideas that you might have or simply to ask me a question. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates as they happen. Thanks so much for listening.